3 o'clock on the dot. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Padres, Twins. Tonight. Little City
tonight.
Connect night.
Tonight?
I really like these new City Connect uniforms.
Do you?
Yeah, they're awesome.
I do too. Only thing I wish is that they had different font. Now I've seen the font just takes me back to the previous one.
It is the same exact thing.
Same exact font.
Yeah, that is true.
But outside of that, I love the uniforms. I especially love the bone pants that go with the navy top.
I still like the old City Connects because they were nice enough to gift us one. The only problem with the old City Connects is they gave us number 22, and it reminds me of Juan Soto, and so I don't like
to wear it. It was actually the season 22.
I know, but it's 22 nonetheless. My wife likes to wear it sometimes, so.
I think the only person that wears that jersey, because
she wears it.
I'm saying my jersey, I got made fun of at a game one time. Someone behind me asked me when I was going to go in and pitch because I made my own jersey. So I haven't worn it, but my mom wears it and people,
Your mom wears
it. She loves
it. She should.
I gave it to her, basically. I gave it to her.
She's proud of you. It says your name on it.
It does. Well, her name, too.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. Hadn't thought of that.
All right. Filling the air with random.
No, I think I
knowledge.
Like these City Connects better than those City Connects. I've come to that conclusion.
Okay, Tony.
Gambit time.
Are you asking my opinion?
No, I was.
Oh,
just,
your opinion.
You're.
He already gave your opinion. You said you liked him.
I already gave my opinion.
Yeah, he likes him.
All right, let's get to the date again.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We're broadcasting live from the Bill House Studios where we know how. And the first bet, I knew how. Because the Yankees, -1.5 on the run line against the Beaks or the Orioles. Yankees win 6-1. You guys chose the Orioles. I chose the Yankees. Now, here's a crazy one. Total runs. Who had more runs in their game? The Angels at the Astros or Washington and the Nationals and the Rangers? Nationals and Rangers were 2-0. So two runs. Angels at Houston. The Angels won 18-3. So Angels in Houston won. You guys chose Washington.
Angels got 18 runs. They may not score again for a month.
That is very true. Yordan Alvarez over under 3.5 runs plus hits. Runs plus hits plus RBIs. We all went over. He only had two. He had a run and a hit. 49ers Chargers over.
I should have stuck with my original.
You did
thought.
Change.
That was stupid.
Well, he would have made it, but I think they took him out of the game because they
got out of hand
so much.
49ers Chargers over under 38.5 total points. Chris
sucked
and I went over, Tony went under. It was 41-17 49ers, 58 total points.
Yeah, typical 49er performance, rubbing it in a preseason game.
I'm not even
piling
lying.
Up the score in a preseason game.
I'm not lying at all, but I forgot this game happened and I don't even know what happened in it other than they scored 41.
Gravy, I got a video of my barbershop friend DJ.
Okay.
He made the proclamation today that they were going to win the Super Bowl. So I took a video of it.
Okay.
And I'm going to hang on to it.
Okay.
I'm going to hang on to
Who's
it.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
49ers.
Oh.
And when they win the Super Bowl.
This is. I have a feeling this is going to age like spoiled milk.
Why?
There's a Reddit thread called Like Spoiled Milk with stuff like that.
This would fit in that one.
Yes, Chris? All right.
No, I just want to know why Tony's friend hates me so much.
Why you?
I mean, if the 49ers won the Super Bowl, does anybody have any idea how miserable my life would be?
What do you mean?
Coming in here with you?
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
I mean, they've played in two Super Bowls since we've worked together. Maybe
Thank
even
goodness
three.
They lost them both.
They did. Fernando Mendoza, over under 120 passing yards. You guys went over. I went under. He had 80, plus that 80-yard pick six would be 160, but that doesn't count. Indiana Fever, -2.5 against Dallas. You guys chose, or Chris and I went Indiana. Tony went Dallas. Dallas won 91-85. Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark had 10 points. I honestly did not get to Paige Beckers yet.
13 for her. Neither of them shot well.
But Paige Beckers wins the bet. So.
Yeah, and there was even a shot. Again, there's people online, I think, and if unfortunately they're in my feed, but they just keep showing the WNBA in a bad light. And I don't know how the league can stop it, but... There's a play last night where late in the game or quarter, Paige Beckers is trying to foul Caitlin Clark, and
it's such a stupid video.
She reaches for her, and then she reaches for her again, then Caitlin Clark falls down and throws the ball to the ref, and people are trying to start a whole war now between them. It's a shame, man. I don't know why people don't seem to want this league to get its due.
They don't. I don't think a lot of those people hate women, I feel like. They just are trying to knock a good thing that's happening right now. Because that play is so just normal when you're trying to foul. The ref didn't call the first foul, so she had to then reach for her again.
Exactly.
And so got the foul call. You can understand Caitlin Clark being like, yo, just call the first one.
That's right.
You don't even know who she's mad at. They don't even make eye contact, basically, either. So just... People are just making up stuff to put the W in a bad light.
Well, Travis's favorite player, Agubin Wale, had 32 last night. Oh. How about some highlights of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Agubin Wale score 32.
The problem is that I feel like it's being covered more. And I don't even know that it's more because I think NBA, I think all of these sports are the clips are used on Twitter more than there are actual shows kind of highlighting it, right?
Yeah.
If you're on Twitter or on Threads, that's all you're going to see, most of it. You're going to have an easier time finding some BS video someone put together that makes the W look crazy than you are going to find of, you know, someone dropping 32.
I think it's a lot of the outsider broadcast people that are latching on to the politics side of this.
People that don't even watch the WNBA.
They just have nothing else to talk about, so they want to talk about something that they can just make fun of or crush or whatever. But, yeah, a lot of people have hijacked what the actual WNBA is all about.
I like what Tony said, man. I think they hate women sometimes and just don't want to see them succeed.
I don't disagree with that.
Just stop doing that because these women are succeeding whether you want to support it or not. I mean, Angel Reese is another one, Tony. She is shooting like 60% from the field this year, but I've never seen her make a shot because all they ever do is show her miss layups on the field.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's all I ever see.
She's just
scoring 17 a game,
clip.
So she must make some of those, but they don't show any of them. All right, leave the WNBA alone. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
Don't watch.
Yeah.
It's not that
let somebody
difficult.
Else. Let the other people who are trying to enjoy it enjoy it.
But what else are these political commenters supposed to talk about?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Political commentary has never been better. Okay.
Better.
I mean, better as in like topics and things to talk about and.
Yeah.
I can't even remember a time when we didn't have craziness going on. Anyway, go ahead.
It's all crazy. I need to delay because I've lost my sheet.
This is why Chris needs to get into the 21st century. Because this is happening far too often.
Because I write something down somewhere and then I can't find it?
But what if
I was using the computer and I put it on a page that I couldn't access?
You hear the papers, then you hear him doing the licking his fingers.
He is one of the few people I still see. That
licks
their fingers.
He needs to leaf through the paper.
You have to leaf through.
I get it. But everybody's a germaphobe these days, so it stands out a little bit more.
Not me. He knows. Yeah, Scraby knows. I'm totally not. I have to eat food right off the floor here because if I leave it on the floor, Ben Higgins will not like the fact that his place is messy Monday morning.
Well, I mean, it's just a common courtesy to clean up after yourself.
I do, so I just eat the food. And you know what's funny is I'm still, you know, walking this earth just fine. You germaphobes.
Hey, it is. Just want to remind
crazy.
You, flu season is around the corner.
Mm-hmm. The only time sure I ever is. The last time I got the flu was the year I took the flu shot. So I just want to make that clear.
Padres, no, I think you just have bypassed it when you got it. He just was like, "I'm okay. I'm fine."
I think you build up a nice resistance to germs by encountering germs.
You know, we said this yesterday.
Unlike other people who don't ever want to go near a germ. When they actually get exposed to one, they're in big trouble.
They're in trouble.
Hey, how many times have you been sick on this show, and how many times have I been sick? You've been sick at least 100. I've been sick like 3 times, okay?
How many shows have I missed because I'm sick?
Well,
how many?
But
that's a different
many?
Question.
The different question, how the actual, many? The real question I want to ask is how many shows should you have missed because you're sick? Because Chris does not respect the people in the studio and comes in while he's like, ha, ha, ha.
No, everybody. And he knows where I'm going with this. This criticism coming from the man who gave me COVID. You brought
it
into the studio.
Ago.
You brought COVID into the studio. At least I just bring a little cough in here.
It's not a little cough. You had to go home one day because you had no voice. This is what we talked about in the break yesterday. For some reason, Chris is the same age as my parents, and it drives me nuts because his generation will not accept help or make things easier on themselves. It's like, hey, I got to do this. Well,
they
got to
pick themselves up by their bootstraps, man. They can't
it's
be getting
crazy.
Your help.
It's crazy. It's like, hey, you could use these cleats to go play soccer. Nope, I want to use these shoes with no cleats on them because that's how we did it back in the day.
You have to, you can't walk uphill in the snow to get to work.
Exactly.
With cleats on.
Exactly.
No, you can't. You
exactly.
cannot.
All right. I don't know how we got here.
You gave me COVID is how we got here. That's always going to be the bottom line in that argument.
But you
that
you,
is a fact.
And
we need to move on.
And because I'm so good at dealing with the germs, I whisked the COVID out of my body in less than one day.
That is not true.
That is exactly true. Let me come back to work for another week, but I was perfectly fine.
COVID was horrible.
It that, was not something was, to really joke about.
That was hilarious right there.
He said
no one would let me come back to
they
work.
They wouldn't. I was sitting at home, and everybody's like, I want to see you take a test. I'm like,
I've never been so cold. But so sweaty in my life, except for when I got COVID. That was a weird experience.
The 2 hours that you gave it to me
the
were
two, it's not,
definitely
see, this
painful.
Is another thing about his generation. Just to admit you were sick. They can't.
I can't. Oh, gosh.
We have a couple minutes to get some bets in. Padres are favored over the Twins by 1.5 runs. COVID giver, you go first.
I'll go with the Padres.
Padres.
Do we know who's starting the game yet?
Vasquez, but yeah, let me make sure in the MLB starting.
Vasquez is start.
Okay. Right.
In the MLB page, Vasquez it start. Still has a TBD there, but oh no, there he is.
I promise you guys it's Vasquez.
Okay. Yes, he just popped up. So with that, I'll go with the fifth consecutive quality start, Vasquez a win. Tony? Should mention.
Yeah, I'm going Vasquez in the pods.
To the win. How about 8 runs? We going over or under that tonight?
Who's
Chris,
throwing for them?
Connor Prielup?
Yep.
Rookie left-hander with the 5.5 ERA. We struggle sometimes against these rookie left-handers, but not tonight. Fernando's starting to mash left-handed pitching the way he used to. He is destroying it at the moment.
By the way, someone on the chat, Yo Madre, said the answers to the cure are being held in Elo's body because you recovered so quickly.
Could be the case. Yeah. And I'll give you my secret. Expose yourself to germs and you'll be ready.
I'll go over as well.
Over 8 runs. Tony, what do you
think? Over.
All of us going for a big offensive night. We have Cleveland and Colorado at Coors Field with a 10.5
run. That's a doozy.
Evening, Joey Cantillo, who pitched well against the Padres. Tanner Gordon for the Rocks. And I don't know. I think you're first, Tony. 10.5 runs at Coors Field. That used to be a gimme. Not so much anymore, but
I'm going under.
You're going to take an under. I would agree with you, but the Rockies have like a makeshift starter, so that doesn't bode well. For Drew Goodman and company tonight to call a victory, I'll take over.
Scraby? I'll go over as well.
Over for you. How about Connor Prielup of the Twins? Two strikeouts over Vasquez. So you take either Vasquez strikeouts, you get two, or you take Prielup to have more strikeouts. Scraby.
You know, he's not a strikeout. Vasquez is not a strikeout guy.
True. But Prielup is. He averages more than one per inning.
The Padres don't strike out that much.
Okay.
I'm going to go Vasquez.
You're going to take Vasquez plus two.
Plus two helps a lot.
I'll take Prielup because I agree with you. Vasquez throws the contact. He also could come out of the game earlier. Tony?
Vasquez,
he says. Total bases. Josh Bell returning to San Diego
tonight.
And
he's on fire right
now. He's been hitting well. You're right. He's in there for the Twins tonight. Who has more total bases, him or the all of a sudden struggling Manny Machado? You know, baseball goes so it hits you so fast that you're on fire, and then before you can even tell everybody the guy's on fire, you go into a little bit of a slump. And like Jackson Merrill went 2-for-21 on the road trip after he just crushed the ball for 3 weeks after the All-Star break. Now, having said that, I'll take Manny's total bases tonight. Josh Bell tries too hard in his return to San Diego. Tony?
He's got something to prove.
I will also take
Manuel.
I mean,
nobody's going to go with Josh Bell here. Tomorrow, Giants minus -3, Dolphins. Huge preseason game. I think Malik Willis really shines.
So you're
I have no
Dolphins?
Idea.
Dolphins?
Of course. When are we going to root for the Giants? Root for them?
I'm just going to say, I think Tony's going to take the Giants. I don't know.
He can. Tony, you want the Giants?
Giants over football? Who? Giants football over the Dolphins?
They're at Miami.
Giants
minus -3. A big game.
Give me the Dolphins, baby.
Attaboy.
I'll go Giants. Chris.
What?
Chris acts like it's the worst team that's ever been assembled.
Do you think my – here's a better question. Does Dart get hit again and end up in
the tent?
Concussion protocol thing? Or is he still in it?
I haven't heard, but...
Was that from the other day in their practice? They knocked him out?
I don't think this guy knows how to play football without lowering
his head. I'm positive he does not know how to run.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he might have been hit too many times. The fact that he was, like, beside himself on why he was in the tent. My guy, if you get hit... Yeah. And you put your hand on your head like, my head's about to explode. You're going to the tent, my guy.
Yeah.
Every time.
Thank God Brian Daboll's not there to like run in there and
are you okay?
Cuddle him.
You're okay. Come on, let's go. Follow me out. Let's
Jackson
go.
Dart. Well, he realized his job was Jackson Dart basically had his job at his hands.
I will also say Jackson Dart took the hardest hit of any player in the NFL last year. And how that wasn't illegal when the Patriot guy clotheslined him on the sideline.
Oh, I forgot.
Remember
about
that game,
that.
Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
One more. Minnesota Lynx, best team in the WNBA, but only 1.5 at Washington. This kind of reeks. I'm going to take Washington like they know something.
Yeah,
because Minnesota's much better. They have 30-7 Minnesota. They're having a great year. Washington just a couple games over 500.
Minnesota.
You're going to take Minnesota anyway.
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota. He already went Washington.
I'm going Washington.
Washington. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how the Twin fans in attendance tonight at Petco Park may have to divert their attention to follow what's happening there. All right, Tony is got to go down there and get his stuff. But we got two more big segments with him coming up, including a countdown and a big five. Stick around for that as Gwen and Chris rolls on toward tonight's Padre Twins game. All right, Gwen and Chris is back. Friar Friday, Robbie Ray was on with us earlier, and if you missed it, you'll get a chance to hear it. He's going to reprise it in the 5 o'clock hour. Well, actually, Robbie Ray's not going to be interviewed again. But
would that be awesome if they were
wouldn't that be nice
to
if
come
he came
on
back
twice?
And say, yeah, I'll do another interview for the 5 o'clock listeners.
That would be great.
Yeah. Robbie Ray, good guy. Cy Young Award winner. And pitching Monday. Tonight, it's Vasquez against the Twins. And it's Prielup, the rookie lefty. For Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Scraby, Got a little lineup to share with the folks out there.
Yeah, I have to decode the lineup, though.
Why is that?
Because they put it in terms of their nicknames, their player weekend nicknames.
They did not do that on the MLB site, so if you...
You know what? I'll do it in that way.
You think you can pull it off?
I'll do it in that way.
You're going to do... It's players weekend, so yes. Everybody's going to have, crazy names. Although the Padres weren't that crazy when you consider Austin Hayes is going by Hazy. okay, great.
Oh, that's really funny.
Is Cronenworth going to be crony? He usually is.
No, so. I'll tell you. Here we go.
Here's the lineup with the players' names. Go for it.
Leading off for you, San Diego Padres playing right field, El Nino.
El Nino. Okay. Yeah.
DHing batting second, FIFO. Which is Renjifo.
FIFO.
Third base. FIFO's been third.
Still, FIFO's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
FIFO's I'm going to start definitely. Calling him that. I like that. FIFO.
Third base. El Ministro, Manny Machado.
And El Ministro de Defensa.
Correct.
Is the longer...
Yes. C.
Yeah.
Cleaning up, playing first base. Big Eiffel, which is Ty France.
That is a good one.
I don't know why, I feel like that's offensive towards Ty France for some reason.
Big Eiffel is the word I don't like because he's not a big...
But he's a big part of the team.
He's the cleanup hitter. He's the big guy.
All right. You sold me.
Yeah, he's the guy. Come on. Big Eiffel. I want a Big Eiffel t-shirt. Whoever's selling those, man, get those
out. I'm sure it's on like Roto something.
Think I could find it?
Oh, definitely.
All right.
Batting fifth, playing center field. Action Jackson.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me.
I feel like his nickname is just Jackson.
Yeah, Action Jackson is not... it's okay. There was a movie that came out many years ago called
Action
Jackson.
That's why they're saying
it. Yeah, this isn't...
Batting
it was
six.
A terrible movie, so it's not something you want to be associated with, I don't think.
Batting six, playing shortstop, X-Man.
Yeah, fair enough. There was a movie called that, too, I believe, right?
Yeah, I mean, X-Men, maybe.
Maybe X-Men.
Left field, batting, seventh? Hazy.
Yeah, okay. Now, maybe he's referring to the weather or the cloud formations in Los Angeles.
Or the beer.
Hazy is not my favorite.
I think there's like a hazy IPA or something.
Oh, man, yeah. I think he's just adding E to his name.
Batting eighth, playing catcher, the Furminator. We already knew that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like the Furminator, but I get mad every time he's in the lineup instead of Campy. I just think they need Campy. And honestly, I think when Campy's not in the lineup, he should be DHing because I think he's been that good. But go ahead.
Let's see here. Finally.
Batting ninth, crony?
Second base.
Is he going crony?
No. Oh, Crone Zone.
Oh, Crone Zone.
I feel like crony is the way to go, though.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know who came up with it, but every now and again, and I think it's Don, but every now and again, a player owes a broadcaster, for coming up with something great that was really, just one of those things that organically happened. And every time Jake hits a home run into the Crone Zone or whenever he makes a play and Don says, you can hit it anywhere, but don't hit it into the Crone Zone, it just adds to the whole allure of Jake Cronenworth.
I miss the video that they made for the big board where they did like a Twilight Zone with Don Arcillo and it was the Crone Zone.
That was good. Yeah. Yeah, the Crone Zone. Cronenworth, by the way, I have to look it up here, but his second half has been quite reasonable compared to how low his first half was. Offensively.
Are you kidding me? It's completely different.
Yeah, I don't know what his totals are before and after the break. I don't have it broken. Maybe you can find it while I'm looking it up. But for his batting average to be a 225 right now is pretty crazy when you consider where it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was like at 140.
It was.
So,
it
was. Give Cronenworth a lot of credit. And a lot of it probably did have to do with the concussion and everything he was playing through. I've said it many times, man. Jake's, one of my favorite players because he can go 0-for-4 and still help you win a game.
Definitely.
And there's not a lot of guys you can say that about.
I'm going to have to give you those numbers on the other side.
Yeah, we'll get that for you, and we'll keep rolling. Our countdown is next. You're going to like the topic, life on the radio. We'll explain when Gwen and Chris continues.
From the first pitch of the year to the biggest games down the stretch, Padres talk never stops. Roster moves in.
Legend of the Phoenix, huh. Or ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?
We're going to Chris. 3:36. Costello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. We got our countdown coming up. Little peek into our world on the countdown today. Life on the radio. Things that we've learned and things that we've experienced. Going to share some of those with you in our countdown momentarily. A quick final score. Baseball today in a matchup between Mizorowski and Sale. It was Mizorowski came out on top, 2-1. Brewers beat the Braves. The only thing, and I know this is baseball in this day and age, so I got to learn to live with it, but both guys are taken out after six innings. Like, that's not what I remember.
I cannot do this anymore.
And I know it's not going to change.
I cannot do this anymore.
But I'm sorry, when Tom Seaver faced Bob Gibson, they pitched the whole game.
You know, Wood says something that was...
Why do you fight me so much?
No, it's because it's you and everybody else out there that keep saying this. Like, we don't live in the Kirk Gibson days.
Whatever. I was going back to Bob Gibson.
Or Bob Gibson. We don't live in those days. It's a completely different thing. I can't do the old guy baseball thing anymore. And it's not just you, Chris.
All right,
it's people in my DMs like, back in the day, it was this way.
I'm not talking to you right now. Okay. I'm talking to just general, straight up. I'd like to see Mizorowski and Sale duel for a game. I think six innings is, I mean, if Patrick Mahomes goes up against Joe Burrow, I don't want both of them coming out in the fourth quarter. I know it's a different sport.
If that's what you're after, that's fine. I can understand.
Well, that's all I'm trying to tell you.
I thought you were saying that they're weak and they're stupid.
I did not say any of that. They both threw 90-something pitches. Out of the game they came. Final score, 2-1 Milwaukee. One of the things I've learned in radio is to be patient with Scraby.
I did fly off the handle there.
Here is the rest of the stuff I hope we've all learned in today's countdown.
I learned to not fly off the handle.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
I guess I'll start today as Chris is just sitting back down in his chair.
I needed to make a note or two.
Okay. So we're going to do a countdown. Yesterday was National Radio Day, and so on the Scraby Show, I told my radio story. It happened in 1920. Detroit broadcasted, like, the first kind of news program, so that's why they call it National Radio Day. WWJ.
You have to put a period, like, after a finishing of a sentence. That sounded like you said, I told my radio story. It started in 1920.
Okay. I told my radio story last night.
Most of your radio
stories
sounded like they started in 1920.
Radio, National Radio Day or whatever is after 1920 because of everything that happened with WWJ in Detroit. Gotcha. So we're going to do our top five things we've learned over the years in radio. I think this is going to be very interesting because I have no idea what you guys are going to say.
Number five.
Who wants to go first? Me?
I made my notes. I'll go first.
Go first.
I'm tired of you stealing all my good stuff.
I'm freestyling this one.
I could go. My order doesn't matter a whole lot. I'm going to start with number five as I have learned over time the incredible effect that this medium can allow me to have on other people. And it is actually taught me that there's a responsibility that comes with being on the radio. I guess it came to light the very first time when I did Gulls hockey 20-something years ago. And I used to do those games, and it was the Western Hockey League. And I know there were parents listening and maybe some girlfriends and, you know, some scattered fans here and there. And I'm like, okay, that's fun. But when I got a letter from some blind listener who somehow was able to get the games on the internet up in Vancouver or something, and said that his life was in part something that he enjoyed as much as anything was, you know, listening to our games, you know, because he couldn't watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was a hockey fan and he liked to listen. And I started thinking, wait a minute, there could be one of those or more than one of those. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that there's, you know, the effect that you can have is something radio's taught me. And it does come with a responsibility, which journalism is another whole, you know, whole nother avenue here. But that's why I hope we try to get things accurate on this show, because people do like to believe what they hear.
Tony, you go next. Number five.
That's a great one.
Yeah, that was
at some point. Yeah, that's one of my five. I won't use it now, so I have one. I'll give you a technical one in terms of what I've learned. Take your time. Sometimes dead air feels like death.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just want to feel it. You just want to fill it up with something.
It's the worst part of my job.
Sometimes taking your time is the best course of action, because I early on doing this, that was the instinct, because it naturally brings anxiety when there's dead air and your mind is telling you there needs to be something there. But I've learned over time that sometimes that dead air is a good thing, and that I can avoid that a lot of times by taking my time in whatever it is I'm talking about at that time, as opposed to like speeding through it and then leaving the chance that there could be some dead air because you don't have anything else to fill it with.
Yeah, people tell you that dead air is bad, but Vin Scully used to broadcast the Dodger games, and after a home run of a good big home run, he could lay out for 15, 20 seconds on radio.
I don't really consider
and
that
it
dead
sounded
air,
good.
I consider dead air two different things. Like talk show dead air is way different from broadcast or like game broadcasting dead air. Because talk show dead air, like you have to talk there. At least you could hear the crowd and stuff in the game. But either way, dead air drives me nuts. But
even on our talk show, like when. There are times where there'll be some dead air, and it almost sometimes is sets whatever else is getting ready to be said, as opposed to us talking to over each other. I think sometimes dead air is a good thing.
I agree.
I think that we are real quick to finish up, and we're never going to make it.
I was just about to say, we're going to have to shrink every single answer by at least 2 minutes each. I haven't even gone yet.
Yeah, we're still on number five, right? But when you don't say something for a second, you know what naturally happens to the listener? They actually creep a little closer to the radio in a sense to wait, what's he going to say? It's an interesting dynamic that we don't think about. Silence can actually help you.
Okay.
Like in this spot. Let's just go right to number four. Chris?
Wait, I haven't gone yet.
Yeah, exactly.
My number five is something that has helped me over the years. Sometimes I get a little ahead of myself and I start spiraling and I start, I can't say the term that I want to say. But I have learned in radio how long a minute really is. And a minute, you could get a ton done in a minute. Our outro bet is a minute, and we finish two topics sometimes in a minute. So what I'm saying is it's taught me to slow down a little bit, as Tony said, because a minute is actually a long time. You don't need to worry. Just get your bearings and go forward.
All right.
Number four.
Number four is going to be to remain curious. Radio's taught me to always want to learn more stuff. And luckily, I'm in a position where I get to interview people and I get to learn more stuff. Don't ever be satisfied with what you know. There's so much more out there that you have no idea about, or even things you think you know. You may talk to somebody and look at it from a different angle when you're done talking to them. So remain curious. That's something that has helped me in radio, and I think it would help everybody out there.
Tony?
Read. It's one of the things that has helped me big time in terms of preparation, obviously. I should say read more and learning how to segment the show. I think that has taken some time to like figure out. A lot of it was kind of just from watching Scraby kind of go through it. And then us kind of doing the show and learning the different times we got to get in and get out. I think all of that has, it's made me a better broadcaster as well. Being on a clock but having to, you know, fill that time with something that is that, as Chris said, draws a listener in. I think doing this job has made me better at the broadcasting side, and I think a lot of that is due to the reading and the preparation part.
That's a good one. I definitely learned. I'll just say this is my number four too. I learned that I need to pre-read stuff, because if I don't pre-read stuff, I'm going to start reading stuff that is not relevant to the article. So if you ever hear me go blah 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 blah, that means I didn't read ahead. So I have learned that I need to be prepared. There is nothing more embarrassing than stumbling over your words and you guys just staring at me.
Well, I think number four should just be prepared. It is important in what we do, because if you're not prepared in your sales job, nobody really knows it or hears it. You know you didn't do a good job that day. But if you didn't prepare for your radio show, a lot of people are going to be in on it.
John Chalesnik in the radio, when I took his radio class, said preparation is everything. Over-prepare. You'll never regret knowing that information.
Yes.
There is, and listen, I think all of us can attest to this. There is nothing worse than walking into the room and not having been as prepared as you know you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because from the moment the show starts, you know at some point you're going to run out. And you know that there's going to be a whole lot of time to fill from that point on.
It's also very nerve-wracking when somebody says, So, what did you think of the big news of the day? And you're like,
what news? Oh, gosh.
What news was that? Yeah. Not good.
Exactly.
Number three.
I've learned, and it took a while to learn, and I'm happy to admit it. Because I think everybody probably goes through that, even though they don't think they do or don't want to admit it. But because you're on the radio, you ain't nothing special.
Hmm.
And I think that is a lesson, because I think when you get on the radio, your first thought might be, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, people listen to me. I'm talking on the radio. I'm kind of a guy. I'm a celeb. People come up and say, hey. Until you run into somebody that's really out there and they go, what do you do? And you go, well, I'm on the sports talk radio. And they're like, yeah, okay, great. and you realize what you're doing.
Which I actually like those people a little bit.
I do too. And what I'm saying is there's just more important things going on out there. And
yes,
we're all part of a big pile out there. And we're all doing our little part here and there to contribute to whatever it is we're trying to make happen. And radio is just a piece of that. And I think a lot of people in radio get carried away with thinking that they're way more important than they are.
Should I cough and say Pat McAfee?
Who is it?
Pat McAfee.
Oh, Pat McAfee. That was not intended for him.
Tony?
That was actually intended for me, because I think I was way full of myself when I very first started doing that. Yeah, I think so. I think everybody gets that.
What, did you like spit on people as you were walking by them?
Pretty much, yeah. I still do that.
That is interesting. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, because we have limited time, I would love to expand on what Chris has said, but we got to keep it moving. Where are we on number
three? Only
number number three, in my book. Gosh, what is number three? What do I get? Scrappy, you go. I got to think of a third.
Scrappy,
can he even hear me?
Yeah, he's no.
Wait, what's up? What's up?
You I had do the, your number ahead. Three.
Sorry, I had to plug in my computer. My number three is going to be how to have a thicker skin and be more confident and stand by my opinions, because I did not have a thick skin before I got into radio. I was very fragile. And over the years, and Chris has built up that skin into a callus. So now,
how about
you can light a fire and don't even feel it.
Just me, I'm the only one that's critical of you?
Yep, just you.
Ah, you don't read your tweets?
That's not true.
There's a guy named Scraby.
Scraby and I used to have knockdown dragouts between the breaks.
Yeah.
For sure. So it definitely wasn't just
Chris. It wasn't just Chris, but I have learned to have a thicker skin. There's a guy out there that every once in a while will DM me and say, hey, you have the worst voice I've ever heard.
Oh, you're the worst I've ever heard.
So, yeah, okay. All right. Thank you.
Did I ever tell you
hey, that is probably the truest of all of this so far, is that you have built up a thicker skin.
Of course.
Like, your skin was like, it was like grape skin. Like, you just squeeze it, just juice would just come flying out. Now you
grape
got this
skin.
You got this crocodile layer over you right now.
Stuff still gets to me. Stuff still gets to me, but not as much as
you
it
hide
used
it better,
to.
Too.
I do hide,
hide it better.
Because I know that you can't let someone know you're sweating.
You don't hide it from me.
No, because in the break, I'll be like, why did you do that?
Tony's still got his turn.
Oh, wait, what?
That's okay. We switched order.
Speak facts. Speak facts. I think Scraby kind of hit on it early. I think in today's media world, you have to be especially careful, right? Everything you read is written as if it is truth. In fact, it's not. In fact, it's a lot of times it's the farthest from the truth. So I guess it's all kind of tied into to do your homework, research, but just make sure you get on the air and you speak the truth. I think that should be the number one thing, but, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't always go
that's
that
interesting.
Way.
I just changed my number one because of what Tony just said. You're number two.
All right, number two for me is going to be that you need to still be yourself, even though you're in a medium
where you're
painting sometimes a picture. Understand that radio is described by many as theater of the mind, which means you're talking, the other person can only hear. They don't know what you're really thinking or what you're really doing. However, if you do too much of that, people figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be yourself out there. I hopefully in real life am not as much of a curmudgeon as I might seem to be when I'm complaining about stuff on the radio. I think part of that is part of the theater of it, but there is a piece of me that still feels that way when I'm talking about those things. So that's where the honest part of me comes in, and I think you always have to keep that.
You want to go me or you again?
Go straight.
All right. I'll just branch off of that one. Yeah, don't be someone that you're not. For a long time, I thought I had to be... I didn't know what I thought I had to be, but I thought I had to be someone that I wasn't. And then I found out real quick that people liked me for being me, so I ended up doing that. And it wasn't easy, but it's the best way to go because, as Chris said, people will see right through that fake.
Eventually.
Yeah. Eventually, or even nowadays, people are very good at spotting
But isn't
people.
Even in the same for broadcast announcers? Remember the old days of announcing? Everybody had announcer voice and batters coming to the plate.
Yes.
We finally have all gotten past that. We just want to hear what you sound like announcing
again. Yeah,
we just
want organic conversation.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to piggyback off of that. I mean, 10 toes down on who you are as a person. I think that's part of the reason why we've had a little bit of success is because I think people can recognize that we are just being ourselves most of the time when we're on here. We definitely embellish and you know, play jokes on one another, but I think when we're talking about serious stuff, I think you always hear, you know, who we are in those serious conversation moments that we have. We have it from time to time on this show.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think in terms of we're doing a top five list, we're kind of all hitting on the same things because they are mightily important. When I get to my one, it's going to sound a lot like Chris's five.
Yeah, I mean, these are all we're numbering them just for the you know, the concept of the segment.
Number one.
But these are all basically the same.
All right, this is something I don't know that we've exactly hit on yet, so I saved it for number one. My dad used to say often, you can make some of the people happy some of the time, but you can't make all of the people happy all of the time. If you are on the radio, you're going to learn that real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you say the most popular, makes sense idea or thought of all time. Some guy somewhere, some gal somewhere is going to think you're an idiot or totally disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn to accept it. It's not easy sometimes. I still don't love getting tweets or texts that are critical. I don't think anybody enjoys it. But we have to learn to deal with that in this particular world.
My number one is... what was my number one? Tony,
you got caught up in my number one, didn't you?
I have my number one.
You go. Yes.
My number one is the responsibility that comes with being on the radio. Like Chris, especially having had a job that a lot of eyeballs were on me before, I don't think I realized that there may not be as many eyeballs or ears in this case on me as there were eyes, but there still are a ton of people listening. And I've learned that it's important to be thorough. You know, it's important to get someone's name right. You know, we joke about that on the show oftentimes, But when it comes to doing it on a broadcast where it's not as, it's a little bit more buttoned up, you, all of those things point to why that those things are important. And the responsibility that Chris had mentioned, you know, there are kids that listen to our show from time to time. There's a responsibility that we have to keep it clean for the most part. And, you know, I just think I don't know that I understood the responsibility that came with it prior to getting involved with it. And it's one I take very seriously.
I co-sign that as well. My number one is actually, I've learned words matter. So I can't say things. Early in my radio career, I said something on the radio that really, really hurt someone. And it still affects me to this day because I just said it flippantly. I didn't think about it. And I realized in that moment that I just can't say things just to say things.
So.
Words matter.
Names, yeah, never mind.
Sticks and stones?
Yeah, that's what I was going for, but it didn't really support what he said, so.
I've learned that Chris doesn't make sense half the time.
I stopped it. Yeah, that's a big thing, too.
Chris versus the fans, up next, Luke Combs tickets on the line, 833-288-0973.